Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of June 20th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is the whole crew. We have Brian.
Howdy ho!
Chris.
Howdy doody, neighborini.
And Joe.
Brightest day. Darkest night.
It was.
Not good movie.
It was darkest night at the movie theater.
Dark. It was dark as fuck, but it was the wrong night.
So, I think we got a good show as usual. Some news to talk about. We're going to talk about Green Lantern.
Boom.
We're going to talk about it right now, actually, in Show and Tell, because me and Joe saw it. Anyone else see it?
No. And I just want to say one thing is the reviews were so bad, it actually downgraded from a must-see to a might-see for me. It was that bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So cool, it's hot.
Yep.
It was not very good.
No, it was not.
So I don't know.
It was not.
I don't know, Joe, you want to kick it off?
Well, let me preface this by saying that my review and opinions will probably be biased because I saw it in 3D and completely free.
As did I.
So
I was
okay. Free, well, so. all the more. Well, my friend somehow has like lifetime passes. I don't know. Maybe he faked like being in the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I have no idea how he got them, but the theater even was like, okay, I guess we honor these.
like the golden pass.
He basically has like a fucking Wonka like golden ticket. It's really weird, but I got in and I didn't question it. So that being said, I'm glad I didn't pay money to see the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, it's I'll put it to you like this. It's a good Ryan Reynolds movie. But it's not the Green Lantern.
Yep. Those are few and far between in my eyes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think it might be his finest work. However, it's still a shitty movie.
Well, if you like,
and it's, you know, not what it should have been.
If you like Ryan Reynolds' like shtick, it's like turned up to 11 in Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, they broke the knob off that bitch.
Like, if you want some cocky assholeness, Green Lantern.
It's basically like they could have taken the plot synopsis to that movie and taken everything out of it that has to do with like him being a space cop,
yep,
or a Green Lantern, or outer space.
And then we would have like it's a shitty like, version of like a mashup of like Top Gun and Stealth.
Basically, it's like douchey pilot gets his life back together,
uh-huh,
and realizes that he has to man up and become responsible if he's going to be the hero he's destined to become. Like, that's the movie. Oh, and also I have a ring that turns me into a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I do a bunch of quasi-entertaining shit. But that, I don't know, that movie was just like, to their credit, I will say, they made it very accessible, I think, for like the average Joe moviegoer who's never mm-hmm. read a Green Lantern comic and couldn't pick the Green Lantern out of a lineup before seeing this movie. So, you know, it's an okay summer action movie, I guess. But like, it's not a strong foundation by any means to make like a franchise out of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think if you look at a movie, if you want to talk about the complete opposite, look at Iron Man. Like, Iron Man did not have a huge fan base coming into it, but they had perfect casting, a really solid understanding of, like, who the character is and what the character, you know, what makes the character who he is in the comics, and they changed enough to make it, you know, acceptable, but kept it true enough to make him still be Iron Man. And it was just a better movie overall.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a much stronger foundation for that franchise than a movie like the Green Lantern was. And really, when you think about it, Green Lantern kind of was trying to be DC's Iron Man.
Yeah, it's like the Bizarro, you know? Iron Man or something.
Exactly. It's playing like, second fiddle to Spider-Man, and in this case, it's playing second fiddle to Batman, and then eventually Superman.
Well, it's just like Iron Man has awesome casting, Green Lantern had horrible casting, and like
Yeah, totally.
Like Iron Man had like a great origin story and everything, and this one was like a mess of just like three different plots going off in different directions.
It was very unfocused. You said a really great thing before we went on the air, was that the movie should have taken place entirely on Earth or entirely on Oa.
Yeah, I think like they could have just like do it on Earth, do like the whole Hector Hammond gets infected or whatever, or like some other Green Lantern villain that on Earth, and then like at the end of it have like Sinestro or someone come and like say like, "You're part of the Green Lantern Corps now, come on."
Yeah.
Or have
no,
it,
I totally agree with that.
Entire Oa and have like him training, and then like all the Green Lanterns go off and like fight like some intergalactic threat or something.
Or, and you know what? I don't even mind him becoming the Green Lantern when he does in the movie. And I'm gonna blow your mind with this. I don't even mind him encountering Abin Sur.
Uh-huh.
Like I don't mind him getting past the ring like that, because you know what? That is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But like they take him to Oa. And this is kind of spoilerish, but not really. I'm just trying to demonstrate like how fragmented the story is. They take him to Oa and basically rub it in his face like what a piece of shit he is. Yep. And how unworthy he is. Half train him for about like 5 minutes total, and then they're like, "Fuck it, you're not worth it. Let's just throw him back to Earth, but let him keep ring."
No, he quits. It's like I'm just gonna quit, but I'm gonna keep the ring.
Right, but they're like they basically break him. It's like boot camp. Yeah. They're like, "Yeah, you're not strong enough. Oh, I want to go home. Okay, bye." But that's like letting a fucking crazy guy who got shit on during boot camp go home with the goddamn rifle.
Like a nuke.
Like you don't – yeah, exactly. Like you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he knows that he could turn the ring's energy into anything he wants. Fuck it. That sounds fine. It's not our problem.
Wait. They leave R.V. Oswald him? They just like – they trained him and they let him go back to like the world to like semi-protected, or just like don't use his ring now.
They just let him quit and they don't say anything about him not being the Green Lantern anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, "You're not worthy of that ring," and he's like,
"Fine,
I quit
then, man. Like I always do.
I'm out.
I quit everything in my life."
Yeah, and the dialogue is basically that natural. So like, I mean, I was like, "Oh man, how is he gonna become like the Lantern again? Like who's gonna?" Give him oh fuck me, he still has the ring.
Yeah.
Oh well, what's he worried about? I was like, now he has everything he wanted. The movie's over there.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's done because he has all the power you could ever want and he's got no responsibilities.
Yep.
The rest of that movie should have been like Ryan Reynolds' like crazy weekend in Vegas. Where he's like turning the Green Lantern energy into like, you know, giant titties and like getting people to like stuff dollars into it.
Yeah.
But also, I think the choice of villain, starting with Parallax, they kind of blew their load kind of fast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before we went on, I compared it to starting a Superman franchise with Doomsday. Like, you can't – there has to be some sort of heroic buildup. You can't just start them with their greatest fucking foe. Even the Dark Knight, I mean, they saved the Joker for the second movie in the series. And, like, that's kind of risky because he's probably, well, unquestionably the most I guess, recognizable and widely loved Batman villain, but they're like, no, we're more concerned about setting a strong foundation and making a good story that makes sense, so we have to have some sort of build-up. Green Lantern, you would think that it would have been fine to start with Sinestro,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have that be the whole conflict, where it's like, I'm going to train you in the first act of the movie, then I'm going to turn evil and become corrupted in the second act.
It's like,
third act, I'm much more powerful than you. Fourth act, you overcome me and everything's fine.
Like that's what we did in like Green Lantern First Flight. That's why that movie is so fucking awesome.
Right. I mean, First Flight was very good. I mean, and full disclosure, I'm not a huge Green Lantern fan by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's cool, but I don't have one single Green Lantern comic on my shelf. You know, I'm like a Wikipedia Green Lantern fan.
Nerd osmosis.
Exactly. Yeah, I just like touch other Green Lantern fans and I'm like, oh, I get it. But yeah, I mean, even I was like blown away by the Green Lantern, how he's appeared in the DC animated films.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just feel like that was kind of a missed opportunity here.
The First Flight is such a better Green Lantern movie than the live action Green Lantern movie.
And one of my big concerns is that the whole Sinestro transformation with the yellow energy of fear and everything, it's not even subtle. like throughout the whole movie, and I was pointing this out to the people I was with, his eyes go from being like the normal color to being yellow. Like, and I'm not kidding, whenever he's saying something that's like remotely evil, they're fucking yellow. And I'm like, okay, I see what you did there. Like, I see what's going on. You can stop throwing it in our faces.
He's not even that evil in the movie, though.
No, he's not. But, like, whenever he says something that's sort of, like, dickish,
yeah,
he just turns, like, yellow, his eyes. So it's not even, like, the yellow power of fear. It's, like, the yellow aura of douchiness. Like, oh, he was kind of a douche. Yeah, I noticed his eyes turned yellow. And the last bad thing I'm going to say about it is that I feel that they kind of tried to bite off Marvel's signature after the credits sequence thing. And for when it happened, which was kind of awkward, it's like after the first set of credits, before the final set of credits, it was awkward timing because I feel like for what it was, it's something that they could have just shown at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't have to stop the movie, start it up again for like 4 seconds, and then go right back ahead and stop it. Like, it just didn't flow very well. And for what it was, like, it's quite obvious. But I also feel very bad for people who didn't stay to see it, because then they feel like that's one aspect of, well, one of the many aspects of the storyline that just sort of gets dropped completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never spoken about again. So, you know, that's it, I guess.
Well, some good stuff about the movie. I thought they did some cool like construct stuff with like the Green Lantern powers.
Yeah, absolutely. But they also had some pretty stupid stuff too.
Yeah.
Like the whole RC car
Hot
like,
Wheels track yeah. thing.
Yeah, not okay. Not okay. Like either be a comedy or be serious, but like
wouldn't it be easier to just like make like a net or something?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be easier to just make a big fucking hand that like snatched them up and caught it, or like if you wanted to get really zany, like a big fly swatter or something, like, come on, man. Like, what the hell? Like, it would have taken me longer to think, like, okay, what's elaborately comical that I could make to save them than to just be like, oh, shit, I better stick out a big hand.
Mm-hmm. Also,
but then again, that just shows what a, like, fucking man-child Hal Jordan is in this movie. He's like, toys! Just makes a big RC
My
car.
My nephew had a Hot Wheels track.
Totally. Oh, yeah, that was such a, like, disgusting foreshadowing. Yeah. Like, when I made that connection, I was like, oh God, I'm going to be sick.
It just, like, lingers on the Hot Wheels track when you see it.
That was so blatant and terrible.
And I also thought for, like, the brief time we see them that, like, the OAP stuff was pretty awesome. Like Sinestro and, like, Tomar Rey and Kilowog and Amonster, they're all, like, perfectly cast.
Yeah, no, oh, for sure, for
like,
sure.
Jeffrey Rush can explain pretty much everything.
I want him to, like, I don't know, any time that I get something new in my life that involves directions,
mm-hmm.
like, I want him to narrate it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at my wake, I mean, my life story has to be read by Morgan Freeman, but Jeffrey Rush has to, like, narrate everything that happens to me while I'm still alive.
Yep.
It's like, I don't get it, Jeffrey Rush. Did I not file my taxes right? It's like, you should have gone to H&R Block. They're professionals. You are not.
Thanks, Kent Barbosa.
Yeah, basically.
So, yeah, you can read a full review of Green Lantern up on everythingaction.com if you want more in-depth stuff. But I would say definitely maybe a rent when it comes out on, like, DVD or Blu-ray, but definitely do not rush out to the theater to see it.
Yeah, if you're like a diehard Green Lantern fan, obviously you've already seen
it. And you'll probably hate it too.
And you probably will have killed yourself by now. But, you know, if you're a casual comic book fan, like, save your money. You can wait.
Yeah.
Although I will say in real D, like, the 3D was very cool. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that has less to do with the movie than it does with, like, just how good that technology is getting.
Yeah. Well, they're starting to shoot with 3D too now, so.
Yeah, and it definitely does make a difference.
So, speaking of other superhero movies, stalking Brian on Foursquare, I saw that he saw X-Men First Class, what was it, last week, Brian?
Creepy.
Yes. So, yes, I did.
So what did you think of that?
prologue to this or whatever is that, I'm going to be a little bit behind, you guys, of course. I'm not rushing out to see every movie, even though I'd like to, but I saw X-Men First Class on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. I thought it was really good, really enjoyable. I loved the casting, great casting. I thought especially Michael Fassbender as Magneto, who was just a total BAMF.
Yep. Yeah.
In the first half of the movie, especially that scene in Argentina there. So awesome.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was a little surprising for me to see that in an X-Men movie. It was kind of a little more risque than they usually go. But I thought it was great. Kevin Bacon, man. Kevin Bacon is just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Of Footloose fame.
Of Tremors.
The Kevin Bacon.
Yes, that Kevin Bacon.
And I thought, you know, he was great in the opening scene as Klaus Schmidt as Sebastian Shaw later.
Yep.
January Jones, of course, is a terrible actress.
Yep.
She fits in the Mad Men pretty well because her character is kind of sort of like how she acts. Like, she's just a one-note actress, I think. And she's just basically there to be the TNA.
Yep.
But if I had one thing, I know I'm all over the place, but if I had one thing about this movie that I didn't really like is that it was pretty long. It didn't drag, but it was long. And I know that seems a bit of a contradiction, but I thought Matthew Vaughn did a great job of pacing, of making things interesting, especially putting in the montage scene, which, of course, you know, it's commonplace.
Yep.
But it was just it just felt long, and the ending was good, a little bit cheesy, but it made sense. As I was watching it, I was thinking about the chronology of it all, of the X-Men universe, like the whole Mystique was like a sister to Professor X. This kind of doesn't make much sense because he pretty much cast her aside in the X-Men movies that are set later.
Yeah.
Like there's no hint of that connection there in the later X-Men movies, which was kind of a bummer because it's like, oh, so she's been here from pretty much the beginning. And of course the only cameo in the movie with best line in the entire movie had to be given, and I just started laughing hysterically when that happened.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's just perfect. Of course, it fits the character like to a T. So so on the flip side, you know, James McAvoy, I think he's a decent actor. He kind of fits the bill here, but he's, you know, he don't really believe that he's going to grow up to look like Patrick Stewart at all. As for Michael Fassbender, kind of looks like a young John Hamm in some parts of the movie. He definitely fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the 60s, they played up the 60s angle. I mean, playing up the angle with the whole
Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, the whole Cuban Missile Crisis was fine, but having them dance like they were at the sock hop, and it just got really kind of cheesy in some parts. And Oliver Platt was great too.
Yep.
So that's my kind of all over the place review. One more thing to add. I thought this movie was definitely a return to form. X3 was not that great. Wolverine, the less said about that, the better.
Yep.
Yeah, really.
I thought this, you know, set the tone right, set the characters right for the most part, set it up as a great prequel, great origin story, and they should have went with this like after X2 or after X3. They should have did this before Wolverine.
I think Matthew Vaughn was supposed to direct X3.
Yeah, I know. Brett Ratner did not do a good job with that movie.
No.
And like Kick-Ass proved, Matthew Vaughn's got some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's going to venture off and crash and burn like Zack Snyder did remains to be seen. But he did a great job with this franchise, and I'm glad to see that they're considering doing this like a trilogy, because I think you could definitely build on what they've talked about in this movie and kind of go further with that.
Yep.
You know, we're going to get to Wolverine too. I have some more thoughts on that, but I enjoyed it. It was a great movie.
So did you see anything else last week, Brian?
Well,
the past 2 weeks, actually, because you were here.
No, I've been wanting to see Super 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already talked about Pirates, and I've already talked about Hangover 2. So, no, I've been trying to see more movies, but I haven't really had much time lately.
Okay. Chris, what about you?
I kind of been like dipping into like on-demand Netflix stuff for a while. So I was watching The Gate.
The Gate?
Yeah.
Is that 80s movie about the gateway to hell?
Yep, and the guys digs up like, you know, they like a hole appears in some dude's backyard. Stephen Dorff, or is his name?
Yeah, Stephen Dorff. It's funny you mentioned that movie because I saw that when I was like 4 years old and it scared the shit out of me. I don't know why, but I remember it. I still remember what movie that is, but yeah, I do.
It's a really, like, when you're small, it's a scary movie, but now you're older, like, fuck this movie. Like, there's no, like, scariness to it.
Why's the guy blade in this?
It was mostly just, it's mostly build-up, like, you know, I don't know.
Okay, it's one of those, like, 80s movies, like, 80s horror kids, horror movies, it's, like, supposed to build, like, family values, but it just, like, in the end, you're just, like, you just come to realize, like, fuck having, like, a sister or something, or, like, your parents don't care. And, pretty much, what? The premise is some boy, like, Stephen Dorff's, like, he has a friend who's, like, really troubled, and they have, like, a sleepover, and, like, they discover, like, some sort of, like, hole that just appeared in their backyard. And so, after, like, a day goes by, his parents come in, like, we're going on, like, some sort of, like, trip without you and your older sister and, like, her, like, really crazy 80 friends. Like, this is one of those movies that, like, it just epitomizes the 80s. Like, this older sister character has two, like, best friends who, like, wear, like, fucking, like, knee-long socks, like, pink scrunchies.
Whores.
Yeah, like, these are the kind of bitches that you holler at a mall, like... These oh my god! Like I just kept laughing that these because they came in talking with a Valley girl talk,
yeah.
Just chewing bubble gum in each scene and just like, you know, just generally like not giving a shit and just they're apparently rich so they're able to buy all this crazy crap that like the little brothers is like fucking girls, but not really. Point is though, like apparently like one of like the sister's older friends, They always pressuring the sister, like, go out and hang out. So the little brother's just like, I miss hanging out with my older sister. Tear.
Whores.
Right. And so, like, the brother gets in kind of, like, the brother's best friend finds the book of, like, Satan. He basically finds, like, the necromancer in a vinyl record. Like, a Norwegian, like, rock band.
Led Zeppelin 2.
Yeah, it was like they talk about some sort of demonic book. They put it on record. And then because, you know, they fucked with powers unforeseen, like, the band, like, died in some horrific car crash or something. And, they, like, only, like, there's maybe five albums made. But, like, luckily, the kids, like, main, the, you know, the best friend has it. And so they fucking, like, summon up a demon hole. And they're like, well, they didn't do anything. So, anyway, we'll just, like, you know, do an 80s montage of, like, staying up past 10 and, like, eating junk food. And then, like, a giant, like, demon opens a hole in the backyard. And so they're like, well, let's go check it out. They check it out, and, like, it's really stupid because, like, when you see a giant hole, the first thing you do is, like, my parents are not going to believe, like, a fucking demon came out of this. So we'll just, like, bury things on top of it. And you know, it kind of falls in that R.L. Stein kind of horror where it's, like, it's simple things that just will scare the shit out of a kid if it happened to you. But as an adult, you're like, I get a bunch of Mexicans and, like, fill that damn hole up. Like, put it in a tree. So, the sister, like, comes back and, like, brings her friends over. And they freak out because the hole, like, you know, as much as they try to, like, to fix it, they keep fucking up. So, demons start spawning out of it. And these are really good animations. There's like, these little dog minion things. They walk on, like, hind legs and they're like little trolls. And in the book, they look it up, like, what the hell are they? And it's, like, they're just things that fuck around. They just, like, they love to call... They're, like, little gremlins, basically. And in the picture, they're depicted, like, sawing off some guy's foot. and like running away with it.
Just some mischief, like, you know. just gonna murder some dude.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm checking the rating, like, to make sure like this isn't gonna happen, because I've seen like horror movies where it's like you think it's like PG-13, like standard horror, and there's no blood or whatever, but then, you know, something crazy happens and there's blood everywhere, and like, this is a kid's movie.
Yeah, that's an 80s PG-13, my friend.
Right. It does get to that, because like, eventually, like, everyone in the house is like running around trying to hide and stuff, and oh man, like, this is before like PSAs about gun safety, because the brother and sister, they team up to like go find dad's gun, and this isn't just like dad's like weekend day gun, like, you know, like a pistol just like mounted on the wall. Dad's gun is like a 12-gauge shotgun that just puts it like in a laundry basket in his room, and it's like half loaded.
God.
And it's not even like locked or anything. I'm like, the 80s was such a wacky time to like have firearms like conveniently hidden just in case like demons pop out. And so for the rest of the movie, just like them defending themselves against these little demons and like locking doors and around screaming. And then they realize that like the power of brother and sister, like love, can defeat like a demon. But unfortunately, the sister gets captured. So the brother, like, he, like, takes, like, his best cherished moment with his sister, which is building fucking, like, model rockets and, like, launching them. And he puts, like, all his feelings into a fucking rocket. Like, I'm not making this up. He like, tries to, like, it's a complex rocket, too. Like, this is one of those, like, three-step procedures that you need to fill the rocket with the right, like, gunpowder and then, like, go in the model store and buy, like, the right pumps.
Mm-hmm.
He does this within, like, 2 minutes, because apparently they've been doing this for a while. And it's not really explained that, like, his sister's some sort of, like, world champion, like, fucking rocket launcher. Like, apparently, like, she won. Like, it's one of those things you gotta see in the background of the house. Like, I watched the movie again to make sure. Like, the sister is some renowned rocket launcher champion who just, like, puts, like, basically, like, vinegar and, like, baking soda together.
She won the science fair.
Yeah, but, like, it's all, like, it's one of those, like, subtle storytelling elements they have in the background. Because, like, apparently in the house, there's, like, pictures of her, like, winning shit with this rocket.
I won the rocket tournament.
Yeah. So, like, the brother, like, does the same thing, except, like, it's, like, a supermodel, so he actually has to, like, light it. So the rocket, like, it just goes inside of this monster's belly. And like, the love that he had for his sister explodes the monster. And, like, it releases, like, everyone who got caught or something. Like, no character really dies. They just get kind of kidnapped. And then
pussy-ass gremlins.
Yeah, and then at the end, they're just... No, actually, in Gremlins, like, a lot of people die.
Well, whatever these are. Gnomes.
Yeah,
hell gnomes.
Old PC gnome guys. And then... Because they form, like, one giant, like, fuck-all monster inside the house. At the end of the movie, like, the house is just fucking ruined. And instead of just going, like, oh, my God, we should start going to church... They're just like, my mom's gonna, like, the movie ends so abrupt. They're just like, mom's gonna kill us. And that's how the movie ends. I was like, that's it? Like, you just fought off, like, Satan. And you're worried about your fucking parents coming home? Like, what the fuck?
Is it like the prequel to Mike Myers' Cat in the Hat?
Kind of.
Oh, man.
It's kind of like, you know, the end of Cat in the Hat. Like, I guess it's like the same, it's the same analogy as Cat in the Hat. It's like the same fucking plot. Like, except... You know, Cat in the Hat, like, he had a machine that fixed everything. This is just kind of like, well, fuck you. Like, they're just, like, they're missing, like, a roof. There's just holes everywhere. Like, there's like, really weird blood stains because the monsters really fucked around and, like, drew with blood somehow.
Oh, God.
Like, imagine if I was four, this would be a fucking scary movie. But now I'm just kind of like,
I would love to see a sequel where it's like, so, Jimmy's in therapy now. Because he said that he sent the demons back to hell by making a love explosion while thinking about his sister.
Dude, there is a sequel. I looked it up.
Fuck off. No, there's
not. It's about the best friend who, like, he still has the fucking book. Like, he doesn't get rid of it. But, like, Steven Dorff's character, he still, like, he leaves the neighborhood after that. Like, explain that, like, after that incident, like, the parents move. The movie shifts from like Steve, like to the best friend character and just him like trying to like live his life without like his best friend anymore, and he's just like, well, I guess I'll summon up this hole again. You know,
those fun times.
Well, at least it's not like The Entity where it's like at the end of the movie it's like she moved and you expect it to say like after she moved and everything was fine. But instead it's like she moved and was raped repeatedly by the same ghost until she died alone. It's like, oh, God. That's not a very good, like, thought to leave you with at the end of the movie. At least with this, it's like, he got away and everything's fine, but his friend is fucked.
Yeah. Destroy that record.
No, he doesn't. He just, like...
He should, though.
He's like, I love the CD. It's great. It's like a shitty... I guess, like, the music makes no sense. It's, like, really generic, like, Van Halen kind of... I don't know. It was like early Van Halen, Led Zeppelin hybrid music. It's like the CD only has 4 tracks on it, but like the album book that came with it was like epically huge. And we're like, what CD store sold this? Who was like, all right, there's a vinyl record. Oh, you bought that? Like, here's your like complimentary book.
Here's your complimentary cursed scroll from the pits of Hades. It's got the lyrics, the alternate lyrics, the credits, demo art.
Blood of a Virgin.
Yeah, and all of their high school term papers.
Oh, man. So, anything else, Chris?
Since Netflix, like, showed up conveniently, it gave me How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
I know I'm a little late to that DreamWorks bus, but... Like, I never saw it. I don't remember reading the books. Like, I didn't know it was based on, like, a kid's novel.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a good story. I really like Jared Butler's, like, Viking voice. It's a good, like, analogy. Some of, like, the father-son, bonding and, like, the son trying to discover himself and not trying to be a violent Viking. Just the end where you guys saw it, right?
I've seen it, yeah. I
don't know if you know the end where they reveal, like, where they take the hero and they make him handicap at the end. It was like, and boom! I was like, whoa!
What a twist!
I know. I was like, that's a good twist. I would not expected that. Like, it's so like, there's no time to like really like. If I was a kid, and that happened. Like, I don't know. What do you say to your parents? Like,
Chris would have started booing.
Boo! He's different.
Well, this isn't like, you know, like, this isn't Return of the... This isn't like Emperor Strikes Back, where, like, Luke gets his hand cut off, and it's kind of like, okay, well, take it all in. He lost his hand. Oh, he got it back in, you know, Return of the Jedi. Okay, everything's fine.
Bully!
Yeah, this is like, he lost his foot, and they gave him, like, the crappiest replacement foot.
It's like a barrel.
And then
it's
before
like
even,
barrel.
Like, before the shock value kind of really gets in. Before, like, the shock value really kicks in, the movie ends, and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'll never be the same. Nah, the end.
I'm sure he'll have, like, an improved one in the sequel.
I don't even care the sequel. It's actually, like, a good story. It was very, like... Not the Vikings I was thinking of, but... they're pretty close.
Yep. The final action sequence is awesome. They're, like, fighting the giant, like, the mother dragon or whatever.
The super dragon.
Super dragon that lives in the mountain, yeah.
I just didn't understand, like, why didn't the dragons... There's so many other dragons that could have helped, but they just were scared, I guess.
They didn't bond with the children yet.
Yeah, the dragons need, like, little white boys on them and girls to, like, drive them.
Yep.
To understand how to... Yeah, I mean, it's a good story. I put a lot of DreamWorks movies on my list to give them a chance. I wasn't one for DreamWorks. After, like, Shrek 2, I was like, okay, I'm done. And then, you know, Shrek 3, Shrek After came out and killed it for me.
It was awesome in 3D, How to Train Your Dragon.
I wouldn't mind seeing that one. I don't mind, like, kids' cartoons in 3D because it's like, oh, like, they're not going to make, like, really cheap effects. Like, they're going to pay attention. Yeah. I imagine when Joe wanted to see, like, Ryan Reynolds and, like, Green Lantern, like, you felt Ryan Reynolds, like, gaze at you. And he's like, hey.
I did. It was hypnotizing.
Check out my chin.
I think they might have put his dong in 3D, too. Like, when he first, like, does that thing with the suit where he's like, oh, my God, I know. I was like, wait, did his dong just jump out at me, like, for a millisecond, or am I imagining things? Because I was like, that seemed a lot closer than everything else. Either Ryan Reynolds' 3D projection just tried to rape me, or they're like, they were bored in the like 3D conversion room and were like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we just did that and see if we could get away with it?
So anything else, Chris?
That's about it. Everything else I've been trying to catch up on is like random anime on Netflix or still like going through Arrested Development.
Nice, me too.
So, Joe, how about you? What have you been watching over the last week?
Well, other than The Green Letdown, I saw some pretty powerful shit. I saw Jackass 3, like, the day before Ryan Dunn died.
Oh, man, so that's horrible.
That really fucking sucks, man. I was a huge fan of the CKY series way before Jackass.
I think he just, he just started a new show in G4, I think, too.
I'm sure he did, but either way, it's fucking sad news, man. Part of me is like, well, that's what you get for drunk driving and driving a Porsche at 120 miles an hour late at night.
Yeah.
But the other part of me is like, well, fuck, like, he was funny as shit, and, like, that's never going to be the same. But it's more sad than anything else, but whatever. So I saw Jackass 3. Didn't see it in 3D, but I got to see all the, like, 3D gags and, like, you know, I could see where seeing it in 3D would have been fucking cool. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I was a big fan of it. Like, obviously, it's not going to win any Oscars or any shit like that, but, you know, I was able to laugh at it. Some of this stuff is borderline retarded, but you know what? Like, you have to be able to laugh at shit like that, too. You can't be so stuffy with your sense of humor.
I think the jet engine is still the best part of the movie.
Shit jokes like lose their appeal. So definitely recommend that. I mean, if you saw the first two movies, you know what the fuck you're signing up for, so just go see it. Oh, by the way, Johnny Knoxville, whenever he's old, like an old man makeup, that just gets me.
Yep.
Like, whatever it is, he just immediately has my full support and attention.
I still think the best one of that, like, when he does that, was like the one where he just like starts shoplifting that store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really good. I also like this one where he drives the scooter through, like, the front window of the scooter dealership. The making out with the granddaughter was a little bit weird, but
yeah,
everything else was okay. Oh, and I really like when Preston gives the guy his dog and then goes into the grocery store and comes out a midget. It's like, thanks, man. Mm-hmm. The guy just sort of stands there for, like, two whole minutes, like, wait, what the fuck? So in addition to that, I just finished watching before the podcast the movie The Dilemma with Vince Vaughn and Kevin James. Believe it or not, not terrible. Not terrible. It was a lot more bearable than I thought it was going to be. If you're a Vince Vaughn fan, you know, like his character from Old School, etc., like the classic sort of Vince Vaughn comedy. It's definitely back in full force. He plays the dramatic hand a little bit in this movie, too. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect it to, like, get me as much as it did with the drama. But there were certainly times where, like, I felt for the characters, which is definitely more than I was expecting to get out of it. But it's funny when it wants to be. It's really sad when it wants to be. The Dilemma is definitely an appropriate title for it. And I don't know. I would definitely recommend it. It's a sort of movie that I don't recommend you watch with your girlfriend because it's going to, you know, it's one of those classic Eddie Murphy situations where she's going to look at you with the crazy eyes and be like, you're not hiding anything from me, are you? And no matter what you say, your answer is going to be wrong. So that's kind of a night ruiner. I could foresee that problem for a lot of people out there. But it's a good movie to watch alone. And, you know.
Oh, that's why I watched Couples Retreat alone.
It's
a Vince Vaughn kind of thing.
Exactly. It's like therapy for douchey men. So other than that, the piece de resistance of this whole week for me was watching Drive Angry on Blu-ray yesterday.
Yes.
So now I am in the elite group of men who have sat through that entire movie and lived to tell about it. Because let's face it, only like 100 people have seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them probably didn't stay through to the end. Mainly because it's basically the cinematic equivalent of just filming Nicolas Cage whack off.
Like, that's really what it is. He's like, I would have loved to be in the room when they're, like, planning this movie out. It's like, okay, I'm going to be the best, coolest, most badass demon ever. No, not like Ghost Rider. Shut up. And I have to come back and get this little girl. But I keep fucking all these, like, hot tranny hookers along the way. Right? And, like, no one could kill me.
Yep.
Because I'm, like, faster than ever. No, not, like, faster.
And I got,
you know.
I got a gun that's, like, got six barrels in it and it shoots magic bullets.
I got a gun that shoots souls. It's like, okay, what else is in your bag of crazy? I don't know, man. That's...
I drive, like, five different sweet cars through the whole movie.
They're all pretty sweet, and I get to keep all of them in real life. I think that should be part of my contract.
Yep.
Did I mention every female character other than the baby girl I get to fuck? Because
well,
I do.
Actually, he doesn't fuck Amanda Amber Heard.
No, which, because I think it's because there were things in her contract that were like, please do not let him, like, touch my skin with his skin. Nope. Like, he has to be wearing surgical gloves at all times if he's going to, you know, be near me.
Yep.
Mr. Cage requests you to go to his trailer. Please do not. This is a trick.
Mr. Yeah. Yeah. In parentheses, please don't. You'll become another victim. Listen, as much as I bust Nicolas Cage's balls, and as much as I make fun of him and everything he does because it sucks, I'm a fan of Nicolas Cage at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I really am, because you know what? He brings me joy. And that's one of, that's more than I could say for a lot of the shit movies that I see. And it's one of those movies that's so retardedly over the top. It's not as good as Crank, but I sort of equate it to Crank. In the sense that if you could get through the first few sequences of Crank and say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm on board. I want to see how this plays out. That's what Drive Angry was like.
Mm-hmm. I put it like a little bit under like Shoot 'Em Up or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely fair. It's in that category of like psycho, hyper masculine, tit fest,
yep,
grindhouse, quasi action movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. I would call that like a white exploitation film. Like that's basically what that is. Because it's just like trailer trash and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird shit like that.
William Fichtner is amazing in that movie.
Yeah, oh man. There were some redeeming qualities, but there's just too much weird shit
him,
in it.
Like his magic coin that like turns to an FBI badge.
I know. It's like you know what it was though, especially for Nicolas Cage's character. It's like playing through a game, like a really hard game, and then unlocking the God mode cheat. And just walking around with God mode on, like, it's not fun. Like, when the character's not vulnerable. Like, he gets shot in the face, and he's like, oh, fuck. I need to heal.
I can feel the bullet move around in my brain, but I don't really care. I'm just gonna put some sunglasses on.
And then that, like, waitress is, like, fucking the shit out of him.
Yep.
And when I say fucking the shit out of him, I mean, like, I've seen hardcore pornos where they did less work. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like, this is crazy.
It's like, Nicolas Cage, like, smoking a cigar... Holding a gun,
oh
and holding a bottle of Jack Daniels.
It was perfect. Like it, I don't know how to describe what I saw, but I saw it and I'm forever changed.
I never disrobe before a gunfight.
Never disrobe before a gunfight. But like you said, full on cigar, bottle of Jack Daniels, gun in one hand, getting like rode like a trick pony by a fucking like sweaty hooker waitress. And then he just, like, smells that a gunfight is happening. I'm like, come on, you're too perfect.
My demon sense is tingling.
Yeah, really. And then he, like, just keeps fucking her while, like, killing them and stuff. Like, really weird. Really weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, all I could think to myself the whole time was, like, this is probably the one of the worst scenes in a movie you could ever hope, like, someone whose opinion you care about to, like, walk into the room, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, see Drive Angry. I feel like if you can get through that movie and find anything in it to appreciate, then you should definitely fit right in with us.
Yeah. It's definitely it's hilarious.
Slash
bad.
You probably already listened to this podcast if you're watching that movie and getting some enjoyment out of it.
It's definitely like I think I said a couple weeks ago, like it's like the next best like Nicolas Cage train wreck after like Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, oh man. But even Bad Lieutenant, I feel, had a few more redeeming qualities
than
this. Yeah, Bad
Lieutenant definitely, like, if you want like insane Nicolas Cage, like Bad Lieutenant is definitely a way better choice. But
yeah, I mean, Bad Lieutenant is like a fucked up, crazy movie, mm-hmm. but this is like a crazy fucked up movie.
Yeah. So anything else, Joe?
I don't think I have anything okay. to say. I don't. How do you? What do you follow Drive Angry with?
I don't know.
Exactly. Nobody does.
City of Angels.
My
Deadfall.
City of Angry. I still haven't seen Deadfall, but I need to do that.
Oh, yeah, see it before it like expires from Netflix Instant Watch.
Oh, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a challenge? Challenge accepted.
So, besides Green Lantern, I've been catching up on some TV, like, because summer TV season's starting up. So I watched the season finale of The Killing, which is on Sunday. And man, people were pissed off about that. Did you guys see any, like, the...
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Like, all...
I was gonna wait till it's over to, like, watch it.
All over, like, the AV Club and, like, TV Guide and, like, all the other, like, places that review TV shows, people were just like, it's fucking worst show ever! I fucking hate it! Why did I waste 13 hours of my life on this shit? Which I didn't think it was that bad, but it definitely had a horrible cliffhanger. That, like...
So, like, no one knows who the killer is still?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Which is pretty disappointing, because, like, that was, like, the whole thing of, like, this whole season is going to be finding out who Rosie Larson's killer is. And they, and you think they're doing it, but then, like, they have, like a twist at the end. It's like, oh, it's not him. Okay.
Next season on The Killing.
Mm-hmm. Which I wish it was, like, another, like, a different case. Like, each season would be, like, a different, like, a case. That would have been so much more cooler, but... And I think it suffered from, like, 24, like, a little bit of, like, 24 syndrome, where, like, it there's, like, subplots going on that, like, you don't even care about.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like, family of, like, Rosie Larson. Like, they should, like, drop them after, like, the funeral, but then it got into, like, this whole thing of, like, the dad is, like, a mafia enforcer and stuff, and then was his mob connections part of, like, why Rosie got killed? We don't know.
The world may never know.
And then there's, like, the whole, like, following, like, Councilman Richmond, who's, like, he's running for mayor, but then, like, Rosie was killed in, like, one of his campaign cars, so is he a suspect? So I kind of, like, hopefully next season they just, like, two-thirds on, like, the detectives and, like, another third on, like, whatever else they want to do. Or, like, all of the focus on the detectives. They actually had, like, an updated episode that was just on detectives, and it was probably the best episode of the whole season, so. But yeah, kind of forced to watch season 2 now just because of that cliffhanger, but. It was a little bit of a letdown.
I wouldn't mind. I just find that, like, a mystery drama show that only has, like, one killer, supposedly, like.
Yeah.
Like, at least CSI, like, as much people give it shit, at least they're, like, consistent, like, one episode, one killer, kind of, even if it's, like, two or three, like, they try to condense it all in one episode. So
well,
can, like,
I thought it was interesting that, like, we would have, like, a whole season, but it'd be, like, a super long episode of, like, Law & Order or CSI or something, but...
Like, you know, if you, like, can't go to sleep at, like, 3 in the morning and you're watching USA, like, watching a Law & Order marathon, they start blurring together, like...
Yeah.
You know, it's either they catch a killer, like, halfway through the episode and trying to, like, sue the hell out of the killer, or the killer is caught near the end, and before he gets to court, he gets shot, so...
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Or, like, CSI, they use, like, their super, like, magic computers to, like, solve the crime.
Magic science.
We have to hack the crime scene.
Yep. Or, I think one of the stupidest ones I've ever seen was, like, they had a picture of, a, like, the murder victim in, like, a photo, and she was crying. Like, let's get the reflection of her tear and, like, see what's off the reflection. And they got, like, a perfect picture of, like, this guy on a boat.
He's, like, waving.
Yep. That must be the killer. Enhance.
So, like, if that happens, you just, like, I would turn away. But that sounds, like, so, like, ready for The Killing. Because I was, like,
yeah,
oh.
It's gritty. Like, yeah, real.
Walking Dead,
though,
like, oh. Like, I remember walking, I was like, stay tuned for, like, a preview of The Killing. I was like, maybe later.
Mm-hmm. And people were, like, playing, like, the detectives seemed, like, way too stupid. sometimes.
What's all this blood?
Well, it wasn't like that, but like there's like it seems like there's obvious clues they didn't follow just for like the sake of the plot and stuff. But I don't know. It started off fantastic and it stayed like, and then it dropped down to like just good, I guess. But it was still a pretty good show. It's not like people are like making it out to be like one of the worst TV shows ever made, but it's a little too far.
I'll give it some shots.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out on DVD when it comes out on DVD. And then I just been watching, because USA, like, their summer shows are starting up, so White Collar's been on 2 episodes. Burn Notice starts up this week, which I'm super excited for.
I'm convinced I'm never going to catch up
with Burn Notice.
I'm just never going to.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the two new shows they're having on USA this summer? They both look, like, so horrible. Like, one is called Suits, and it's, like, the most generic, like, lawyer show I've ever seen.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
The one that's going to make give Franklin and Bash a run for its money?
Yeah.
At least Franklin and Bash has, like personality. This one is, like, I'm a generic white guy who got fired from a law firm. Now I'm hired by another law firm.
I feel like both of those shows have, like, faked personalities. Like, both commercials for both make it seem like so cool and so hip and like it's a lawyer and they drink beer and oh god, and on Suits he's a wisecracking guy who's really smart from Harvard. It's just like and with Joe's point on Burn Notice, I gotta catch up. I missed the last half of the last season.
Oh god, you
guys. It's just they just keep it's just the whole Michael. Burned. Is he a spy? Is he not? He's working for this agency. He's working for this handler. He's working for this. That's just starting to drive me crazy.
Well, something happens at the end of last season that like could potentially change like the whole show.
La 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 la.
I'm not gonna say anything, but
I gotta start on Justified first before I can get back on the Burn Notice bandwagon.
Damn right you do.
Yeah.
And then there's like the other USA show is like Necessary Roughness. I guess in that trailer. It's like the psychiatrist gets hired to, like, do therapy for this football team. It looks awful. Huh. I think, like, White Collar is probably, like, their last good show that they had. And then I wanted to watch Falling Skies, but I didn't get a chance to watch, like, the pilot. Because that premiered, like, this past Sunday.
I just think Falling Skies is just, like, a shittier version of, like, V.
Yep.
I've heard it's better than V, but...
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I could be wrong, but, you know.
And I had that same idea, too, because I was reading a bunch of articles that are like, oh, it's going to be like V, it's going to be like the canned sci-fi that's already been on TV, done a billion times. But I've actually heard in reviews that it's different. It's got the Spielberg touch.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it ruins my Hawthorne and my Azalea and Isles, like, marathon?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
So I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah. Have you seen the promo for Azalea and Isles where, like, it looks like they're dating or something? Chris?
Yeah, they're speed dating. Yeah. They're like, oh, we should do this more often. Like, meet people. And we're just like... I get it. It's like two like New York women or city women like tough and can't find a guy because they're too they're too independent.
But then they find each other at the end. It's like they're lesbians. I don't know what's going on.
If that becomes like they're like lesbian partners, holy shit, am I like buying like the seasons? There's never been a show like that. You know, they keep teasing people with, like the sexual tension in Bones and X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of in House sometimes, but like. If it's an all, like, female cast, and it's just like, yes, they're going to hook up. No one's going to believe me.
Yep.
No one watches this show besides me.
So, why don't we move into some news, guys, if you want to. I think it's all we've been watching for show and tell. So, we actually have some trailers to talk about. We haven't had trailers in a while to talk about. But first one that came out last week was the trailer for Moneyball. And you guys see that one?
What'd you call me?
Moneyball?
Yeah, I saw it, and you know, it's Brad Pitt as Billy Bean, the general manager of the Oakland A's, and they just they
and
they try, like, it's the team that they try to go really cheap on and crunch stats, and Jonah Hill's in it as Paul D. Podesta. Actually, he's under a different name in this movie, but trying to distance the sports aspect, but it made, like, the Oakland A's seem like a team that was, like, one for the ages because they were all geniuses. But they made the playoffs a few times, and what they did was cool, obviously, and it was worth writing a book on. But it's not magical to the point where they need to make a movie about it, because they never really, like, won the World Series or anything.
Yeah. Well, it's had, like, a crazy, like, development cycle. Like, Steven Soderbergh was supposed to direct it originally, but then, like, Sony canceled it, like, a couple days before they started shooting. Then they got brought, like, some other guy in, and they had Aaron Sorkin rewrite the script.
Yeah, I'm glad Sorkin has a hand in it. I think he can do something good with it. But, I mean, it's just, it made it seem like a wonderful, like, Angels in the Outfield type movie, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I like the cast, though. I like the cast.
Hopefully, like, since Sorkin wrote it, hopefully it's got, like, some, like, social network-y stuff going on.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think he's going to write some great dialogue.
It seems like it's got, like, a sort of similar thing going on where, like, it doesn't seem like a very interesting story, but then, like, you watch it and it's, like, amazing. So.
Yep. I think it'll be pretty good. I might see it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Then also we had two more trailers for The Muppets last week. They had a Green Lantern parody trailer, and then they had, like, an actual full theatrical trailer. Did you guys see either one of these?
I've yet to see anything for this fucking Muppets movie. I'm really behind on it.
I saw the Green Lantern one. I thought that was pretty neat. Funny thing is, I've seen all the parody ones, but not the real one yet.
I love that parody one just because fucking Uncle Deadly is in it.
That's pretty bitchin'.
Uncle Deadly is, like, because they showed, like, because Chris Cooper is going to be, like, the bad guy. He's, like, an evil, like, real estate developer, like, oil tycoon guy. And he has, like, Uncle Deadly, Bobo the Bear, and Statler and Waldorf is, like, his, like, henchmen. Or, like, his, like, cronies. And they want to, like, drill for oil under the Muppet Theater. So they want to tear down the Muppet Theater and, like, drill for oil. So that's why they have to, like, have, like, the Muppets have to have, like, a telethon to, like, raise money to, like, save the theater.
So, like, where's, like, the love story come in between that and, like, the other human characters?
I don't know. Like, I guess Jason Segel's, like, he and, like, his, like, roommate are, like, huge Muppet fans, so they like, go around trying to gather all the Muppets back up together. Because they're, like, doing their own separate things. Like, Gonzo is, like, some, like, Las Vegas show, like, magician or something, and, like, a bunch of, like, Fozzie is, like, he's doing stand-up comedy, like, on the road and stuff. And, like, Animal is, like, in, like, some, like, psych, like, I don't know, I think he's in, like, a psych ward or something.
Jesus. Did you guys watch the Muppet Show on TGIF?
Oh.
Muppets Tonight?
Muppets Tonight.
With, what was it, Rufus or whatever?
Yeah.
They made, like, a Rastafarian,
He's not in this movie.
Oh, man, he was, like, one of my favorite. Like, they used a shitload of Muppets that Jim Henson just did not improve, like, at his time. It was only, like, secret sketches. Like, these are, like, you know, people behind the Henson Company are like, well, we need new characters to appeal to, like, new kids. So, like, if they make, like, an emo Muppet in this movie, like, I'll just laugh my ass off. Like, no, a generation from now, like, no one's going to get half these Muppets.
It looks like the classic Muppets.
Okay.
Like, Sweetums and Swedish Chef and, Gonzo and Fozzie and Kermit and Miss Piggy and Beaker and Dr. Honeydew and, like, all the other ones. So there's, like, an awesome Swedish Chef moment at the end of the Green Lantern parody one.
Yeah.
Where, like, Jason Segel's like, why do we keep showing these movie parody trailers? Why don't we just show an actual trailer? Do we film the movie in Swedish or something? And it cuts, like, Swedish Chef, like, opening his fridge with, like, a flamethrower. He's like, Jupiter. Like, say hello to my little friend, but in Swedish. He, like lights the fridge on fire. And then, like the end of the trailer is like, Muppets, not filmed in Swedish, we promise.
Nice.
Also, if you guys watch like the if you watch the theatrical show sometime, like it ends with like "We built this city by Jefferson Starship." So yeah, I'm excited for that movie. Anyone else excited for that movie?
Yeah, yes, very much so.
I'll give it a shot.
What was the last Muppet movie? Muppets in Space?
Yeah, I think so. Muppets from Space.
Man, I saw that movie, and I was like trying to explain Gonzo's origin.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then thank God I went on hiatus for a long time, mm-hmm. but I don't know, maybe. Muppet movies are like special. You don't watch them like every day because you get sick of them, but like you have a few favorite ones.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how like this is gonna fare compared to like Muppet Treasure Island.
That's your favorite one, Chris?
Yeah, it's either Muppet Treasure Island or Muppet Christmas Carol.
What about Muppets Go to Hell?
Oh.
The final Muppet movie. Oh, that might have been Jason Goes to Hell. Never mind.
So, yeah.
Never mind. Yeah.
Not as cuddly.
No.
So, moving on to other news from last week, we learned that Hot Wheels, the classic toy line, is going to be turned into a movie.
Fucking finally.
I know. I guess Mattel said they want to like capitalize on like the Fast and the Furious momentum.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Wow!
They want to do sort of like a gritty, action-packed Hot Wheels movie.
Yeah, gritty.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it now. Hot Wheels, this summer, the wheels are hot.
Oh my god! He's going through a loop.
Hot Wheels. I'm calling it right now. Megan Fox is involved.
And, like, who can get as, like, the poor man's Vin Diesel?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just don't know.
Let me see
know.
If I can Google that.
Jason Statham.
Statham's too big for a Hot Wheels movie, I think.
Better get ready for Hot Wheels.
You already did Death Race, so.
Yeah, which is basically Hot Wheels.
Well, Death Race is more like
you'll see. Pirate. I'll show you.
What about Ice Cube?
Ice Cube, yes. Continue.
And Jason Statham actually came up. Wow.
Continue.
Oh, fuck.
I hate when I'm right. Continuing like the XXX tradition of having Ice Cube fill in for Vin Diesel.
Yes.
Jason Statham came up like, I Googled that exact phrase. 3 times his name has come up.
Oh. Oh, God.
So, do you guys remember there was like the old, like in the early 90s, they had like a Hot Wheels cartoon?
Yeah, moderately. I forgot, like, what they're racing for.
Heroes on Hot Wheels. It was on, like, the Family Channel, when it was just the Family Channel, not, like, ABC Family or anything.
Yeah.
It was, like, I remember that a long time ago.
It was, like, you had Team Valiant, who was, like, it was led by, like, Michael Valiant, and they, like, there was, like, racing around. They, like, he could race any car ever. And then there was, like, Team Leader, which is, like, this evil guy with, like, a metal claw that wanted to, like, take over the world through racing somehow.
It seems likely.
So I'm just thinking, like, they've done, like, a narrative for Hot Wheels before, so. I don't know.
But this will be gritty.
Mm-hmm. The latest in a long line of toy movies coming out soon that we can look forward to, like Battleship.
And Candy. I can't wait for Battleship.
And Monopoly.
It used to be they came up with good original movie ideas and then sell toys around them. Now it's just like, yeah, you know what? We've already got a built-in fan base around this toy. Let's just make a movie on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Space Jam. It's like, oh, yeah, Michael Jordan's popular. You know it's also popular? Looney Tunes. So they made the movie, and then they're like, you know what we can do? Shitload of toys.
Yep.
Now it's Transformers the movie, Battleship the movie, Hot Wheels the movie. It's like, Hasbro, I don't even know you anymore, man.
Yeah, really? I'm waiting for Mr. Potato Head Begins.
Yep.
Mr. Potato Head Rises.
Yeah.
Stretch Armstrong's coming out.
It's like in order to become fear, he like changes his eyebrows.
Motherfucker, they're really making a Stretch Armstrong movie, dude. That's like,
what?
That's real life shit.
With Taylor Lautner as Stretch Armstrong.
I hate this. I hate it already.
He's so dreamy.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Within like 10 seconds of the movie starting, he like rip his shirt off. I can stretch.
It's so hot.
I just rip my shirt off
and
stretch.
All his dialogue is, I was in
Twilight. Yeah.
Shark Boy, no.
So, other bit news we learned last week was that we got the directors for The Wolverine and Expendables 2. So James Mangold is going to be directing The Wolverine, and he directed 310 to Yuma before this and some other movies.
Now, I'm still bummed that Aronofsky's not going to do it. I thought he could put such a great spin.
Yep.
Plus, you know, talking about the story where it goes to Japan, I was sounding so gung-ho, especially after how shitty the first movie was, like how they could do it. And I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's all I got to say.
True.
Again, True. 310 Nemo was a pretty good movie, so.
Yeah. Oh no! Don't get me wrong. I think he could do it, but I was just more excited about the original premise and idea.
And then for Expendables 2, we have Simon West stepping up to direct it instead of Stallone. So Simon West, of course, did Con Air, and also Tomb Raider and The Mechanic.
I think Stallone's gonna have like his creative eye on the whole thing, so that I'm not too bummed if they switch directors unless it's something completely drastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
Unless they go to space, like Expendables in space.
That's the third one, Chris.
Expendables X.
Yep.
They're all gonna like climb on the back of Terry Crews and they're gonna launch him into the moon.
Yep. with his Old Spice powered engines.
Yep.
Power.
So yeah, Simon West, like he's a good action director. So.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone loves Con Air, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Nicolas Cage earlier, one of the greatest Nicolas Cage movies of all time is Con Air.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Back in the box. Good times.
True life.
Mm-hmm. And he's already worked with Statham before with Mechanic, so.
Yeah, that's very true. Mm-hmm.
And then last bit of news for this week, we learned that Boondock Saints might be a TV show. Which is kind of like just like drunken ramblings from Troy Duffy, the director. But I guess he was doing an interview and he's like, you know, I really don't see a third movie. I see more of like a TV show and like maybe like HBO or AMC would want to pick it up.
And, you know, I could, had they done that instead of the sequel, I probably would have been more interested. But after hearing about the sequel being so like meh.
Yeah.
And I have no desire to see the sequel, and I like the original a fair amount, but I don't know.
Like, I don't know. How do you even do like a Boondock Saints TV show? Where they just like kill a new person every week. They have like a new target to kill every week.
They become detectives.
They solve like mysteries.
Yep.
Or it's like Burn Notice where they have a job, like they get hired.
I want you guys to kill this guy this week.
Oh God.
Give us 2 pints of Guinness and we'll do your job for you.
Oh, we're walking stereotypes.
Like, Troy Duffy was like, Sean Patrick Flannery and Norman Reedus would be like, they'd drop everything to be in the show if we started doing it.
Disgusting.
Just thinking about that reminds me of like the Black Donnellys. Remember that show?
Yep.
I never watched it, but I know it was about an Irish-American family or whatever.
People love that show.
I know. It's crazy that people were obsessed with it.
You know what the Boondocks show remind me of? It reminded me of Supernatural. It's just like two brothers going around killing like evil things.
Oh, man. If like the Boondocks, if the Saints fought like werewolves and stuff, yes.
Supernatural.
I'd be on board. And it's like every step of the day, just like drop a word off to their knees and like do the whole Saints prayer. Oh man, so we'll probably never see that, but interesting.
Something to think about.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for news. So why don't we get into our new release roundup for this week? And our pick of the week is Unknown, the Liam Neeson movie that came out earlier this year.
Yeah, I saw that at the store today. Still kind of want to see that, even though it's disappointing from what I've heard.
Yeah, right, I definitely want to see it, too.
Did you see it, Zach, and you liked it?
Yeah, I think I gave it like a 3.5, I think, on the site. I'm not sure. I have a review on the site if you want to go check that out. But it was it's definitely like a Taken is still definitely way better, but it's not a bad follow-up to Taken. You have to suffer through more awesome Janeway Jones acting, but just... There's some good action stuff in it. Liam Neeson kicking asses, it was awesome. So I'd say definitely it's worth a rent if you haven't seen it yet.
Cool.
So also this week we have The Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that too.
Yeah.
Even though I heard it's way, but like way more like a romantic drama than like sci-fi, but
JK.
Yeah, I heard that too. Like they didn't quite know how to market the movie.
Yeah. Guys in suits running with hats.
What would you do for love?
Matt Damon.
That's what I would do for love, Matt Damon.
I would do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that. So yeah, that's out. Let me get my thing up here. Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2, Roderick Rules, is out this week.
So if you have kids, there you go.
Yeah. The Eagle is out this week, the Channing Tatum Roman movie.
Mmm.
That was gone in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
I guess there's an unrated version coming out. You can get a rated or unrated version.
Excellent.
I brought this up before, but I'm like, who wants rated versions? Who's like, too much violence? I need someone to censor my work.
Well, it's not really censored. It's just like the original version. And then like unrated is like, here's stuff we couldn't show you in theaters.
AKA, here's like 7 more centimeters of side boob.
Or we digitally added blood to this scene. He says a swear.
He takes the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, dear God.
How dare he?
So, also this week we have Cedar Rapids, the Ed Helms insurance salesman movie.
It sounds like you've just been reading my Blockbuster queue. Because, like, that's like the order I have them in, too. It's kind of funny.
I just went down, like, whatever Amazon said for their new releases for the week.
I don't blame you.
I want to see that movie. I watched
Me too. That looked pretty funny. It looks like a sleeper comedy.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like, I saw a little bit when it was in theater, and it looked pretty funny, so.
Well done.
On Blu-ray this week, we have Michael Bay's The Island.
Wait, not bad. What?
The overlooked Michael Bay movie.
Oh, God.
The Island.
Oh, on Blu-ray. Yeah, I was Blu-ray. Like, what the fuck? I was like, did that just never come out? It's like, just wait. People will want it.
Mm-hmm. Which, that movie's not bad.
No.
Like,
it's good for what it is.
Yeah. I think it had the record for a while of, like, most product placement ever in a movie, but...
Oh, God.
Like, they're doing, like, the Xbox, like, video game thing that they have in, like, their, like, underground utopia, whatever the hell they're in, cloning facility. It's got Sean Bean as the bad guy, too, which is always awesome, so.
Here.
I thought he was the bad guy in that movie.
And there's some good, like, Michael Bay, there's, like, an awesome, like, lighting. Michael Bay car chase, but with, like, hover bikes, because it's the future. And let's see what else we have. Oh, Mega Python versus Gatoroid is out this week.
You're goddamn right it is.
The epic mash made up of those creatures and also Debbie Gibson and Tiffany in the same movie.
I think we're alone now.
They say that in the movie, Brian.
Yes.
they quote 5 lines from that movie, that song in the movie.
Wow.
And also, if you want to see a member of the Monkees get eaten by a giant snake, this is your movie to go watch.
Oh, I've been looking for that all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
And then last thing came out this week is season 1 of Louie is out this week.
Mm. For me and wanting to catch up on that show.
It's disappointing.
I've heard good things.
Lucky Louie was much better.
Yeah, I heard that was good, too. I've seen clips from both. And I liked... some of what I saw from Louis.
If you want like extremely uncomfortable comedy, then Louis is a good
place.
Oh
yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yep. So that is it for New Week's Roundup, and I think that's going to do it for this week's show too, because we don't really have a special feature.
So suck it.
Yeah,
is what he's going to say.
Or you know what? Just consider the whole show to be a special feature.
It's always You're special. Welcome. It's always special.
Aw, guys.
So, if you want more from us, you can always go to www.everythingaction.com. We usually have, like, at least one or two posts going up every day, including Musical Montage, our new feature, which we, like, examine movie music and music videos. And actually, this week I put up the Dream Warriors video from Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
You sure did.
One of the greatest music videos featuring stars of the movie ever made. And we learned that Freddy's weakness is awesome 80s metal from Dokken.
What's your one weakness, Freddy? Dokken.
Yep. No! Too much rock!
It's too powerful. The riffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the riffs.
Of course, you can also go on everythingx.com for reviews of the latest movies. I'm trying to see like every single movie that comes out this summer.
You're a brave man.
Mm-hmm. At least, like, the big, like, action blockbusters and stuff. I still haven't seen, like, Hangover 2 or anything yet, but...
You should.
By the way, DVD. I think I've actually seen, like, most of that movie just, like, walking into it, but... Anyway, everythingaction.com. Lots of awesome stuff going up on there.
Do it.
And you can also follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/EVAction is our Twitter account. Which, if you were on there... last week, you could have seen Joe live blogging Drive Angry.
I blogged the fuck out of it.
Tweet
I
angry.
To tell.
I tweeted angry.
I did.
I tweeted about the president that we have to kidnap.
Using space and time.
The Book of Secrets.
The Book of Math.
So, and then we're also on Facebook, facebook.com, search for Everything Action. You can join our group on there. You can see news stories as they go up. You can comment on those. You can send us links to yourself if you find anything cool on the internet. Chat with us if we're on. So, Everything Action, Everything Action on Facebook. And we're on iTunes as well. You can go to iTunes Music Store and search for Everything Action. And you subscribe on the podcast on there. Leave comments. Rate us. Also, on there is our app you can download, which it's free. For your iPod, iPod Touch, it gives you the last 20 news stories from the site and also lets you listen to the podcast. So definitely check that out. And you can send us an email at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Brian, Chris, and Joe, I'm Zach, and we'll see you next week.